This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It's there. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Do you need some Civic Media merch? Maybe with WAUK on it, because that's where I broadcast out of? Then you can go to the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us. Go to the upper right-hand corner and click on the store button. Check it out. I got me some merch recently. I like a little good branding. Again, folks, if you know me, you know my home station is on the WAUK. That is 540 AM all throughout southeastern Wisconsin. But I've got a guy that isn't broadcasting from southeastern Wisconsin. What my colleague in broadcasting, the host of Rational Revolution, which I think we need a whole lot more of, Mark Becker. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Mark. How are you doing?
Oh, what a warm welcome. Thank you so much. I need to get some merch, too. Oh, my goodness.
Everybody needs merch. Swag is my thing. I love a good graphic T-shirt. Love a good logo.
Yes, that would be awesome. I'm going to have to check that out. Thanks for that.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. Tell people what the Rational Revolution is all about. Why are you doing what you're doing?
Okay, so the Rational Revolution, we focus on statewide and national issues. I am a former chairman of the Brown County Republican Party, turned center left. So because of just, you know, how the Republican Party has just gone completely crazy. And so we talk about that, and we talk about how to have conversations and move the needle and get people out of the crazy. So that's kind of the angle that we try to play in every week.
And where can folks find your show, Mark?
Oh, goodness. So Saturdays at 2 o'clock, Sundays at 1, and you can always download it, the podcast, on the Civic Media website.
I have really respected some of the work that you've been doing, Mark. I've been listening myself. You talked with both former Republican National Committee Chair Michael Steele, as well as former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney. Tell folks a little bit about those interviews, which I was so proud to have a colleague from this network talking to those people and being able to have those kinds of conversations. What did they have to say? And I just wanted to get your opinion sort of in a post-mortem feel, which is, do you think Republicans speaking out was helpful to Kamala Harris? Like, would the election have been like by larger margins absent those? So did it make a difference? And should we continue to try to build those bridges to Republicans that certainly, at least some of them now find themselves a bit homeless?
Yeah, it was really interesting. Some of the people that I spoke with, Michael Steele, that was fascinating to me, because so many of the people that I've spoken with that are former Republicans talk about how they're not Republican anymore, and they're not really conservatives anymore, to be honest. They've really morphed into going to the left. But Michael Steele said, I am a Republican. I will always be a Republican. The Republican Party left me. Liz Cheney said the same thing. But people like, we just talked to Joe Walsh again this week, who's a former congressman from Illinois, who is a...
good friend of the show. I love having Joe on for a little tete-a-tete. He's good fun.
Yes. But so he said that he, and I don't know if he said this on my show, but he texted me. He said that we have to become Democrats now. And that's the direction that we have to go, because the party is gone. And so now... you know, the party of the big tent, the party of where we can be is the Democratic one, not the Republican one. So it's fascinating to see where they were on that issue. Did it make a difference? Absolutely. I think Kamala Harris put on a masterclass of how to build a coalition in less than, like 100 days, really. And she did a marvelous job. It's just she didn't have enough time to keep that momentum going, which is really unfortunate. And Joe Walsh and I, for a cheap plug on the show, we talk about that. We talk about what went wrong. And so he had a fantastic answer with that.
I can't wait to get Joe back on the show here, because I have been sharing with the folks that are listening now that I have basically a five reason explainer for this, and they're absent any one of them, I don't think the election goes down in the way that it did. But here are my five things, and I'd love to get your reaction, Mark. Thing one is that there is very real and accurate economic existential anxiety, right? Like that is real. And it's not specifically in response to where the inflation rate happens to be on one day versus the next. It got labeled as inflation and people understood it as inflation, but that wasn't the real source of the true economic existential angst. That comes from the middle class getting screwed over the last 50 years by an increasingly less progressive tax code, more of the wealth, more of the income going to the wealthiest among us, and frankly, people worrying that their kids aren't going to be able to do better than they are. That's true. Of course, the solution isn't more tax breaks for billionaires, which is what Donald Trump is promising, but that was very true. Thing two is Donald Trump is an authentic, charismatic communicator. Most politicians sound like politicians and people hate that. He's not that. Third thing, he took all of the latent racism, homophobia, sexism in this country, xenophobia, boxed it all up and said, these are the people to blame. Your fear, your anger, your feeling, however you are, blame these people over there. That sells. It was an easy off-ramp for people mentally. Thing four is the information swamp. We've never been in a place where information is so likely to be uninformed, misinformed, disinformation, and where people are more likely to only exist within their own confirmation bias bubble. And thing five, finally, is the notion of false scarcity. We have plenty to go around here. We could have the high tide raise all ships. There is a notion of false scarcity that has been sold to the American people, and that has been metastasized by individualism, which has become selfishness. These are my five things. I think you take any one of those away, and again, it doesn't happen the way that it did. But those five factors, and I think as we move forward, to me, I'm thinking to myself, how do we combat those five factors? What do you think about that? Are you hearing similar diagnostics? What's your take, Mark?
I mean, for the most part, I think that's pretty accurate. I think the one thing that makes me nervous is the communication thing. Donald Trump is not a really effective communicator. He's an idiot. He does not speak well. He's a bumbling buffoon. But you know, he knows what people want to hear, and so in his nonsensical way, he says it. So I don't necessarily think he's an overly effective communicator, even though he says he's a better, speaker than Winston Churchill. He's not. What makes me nervous is what happens when the Republicans find that guy, if it is, Darth Vance or whoever it is that takes over for Donald Trump is going to be, probably a very articulate person, someone who can communicate these racist, xenophobic, horrific policies and ideas that Donald Trump has, and they will make it so, it's not just the extreme and the fringes that are like, yeah, that's my guy. So many of the people that I believe voted for Donald Trump did so because we are in an economic time that hurts, and they just wanted a change. So there's a lot of people that said, yeah, I don't like the guy, but I had to vote for him because this sucks, but then there is some of the people, I don't know what percentage on what side, that are like, yes, we wear the white hoods and we wear them proudly, and Donald Trump has given us a place to wear them proudly and be okay with that. So, yeah.
That's the MAGA tent, right? It's the people that find that totally abhorrent, but are also angry and ticked off and existentially afraid for their future. And they're like, listen, if I got to stand next to a neo-Nazi to get my way, and I believe that this vote is actually going to make my life better, by the way, it won't. They're okay with that. I mean, that was one of the things that popped it to my mind all the time. I was like, okay, cool. You're not a racist, but you're voting for one. Come on. And I just,
well,
and
I've told people too.
Go
like,
ahead, Mark.
If you're in a room and you look to your right and you see white nationalists and you look to your left and you see people that are, you know, like Christian hate groups, like, I mean, you're in the wrong room. So, you know, just because you have to do mental gymnastics to say, well, this is why I voted for that person. No, like you're in the wrong room. If you look around and all you see is racism, bigotry and all of that, what are you doing there? So it's confounding to me.
You are who your friends are.
Here's
a couple of quick statistics. I've been talking about tax policy this show a bit, Mark, but to sort of emphasize the point about, well, yeah, people are feeling a little bit differently about things, not so hopeful. In 1979, the average federal income tax rate for the top 1%, again, so it's averaging across all the brackets, right, was 35%. Today, that's 30, right?
Yeah.
Like, that about says it all. If you look at just the top 20%, in 1979, the rate was 27%. Now it's 23%. I mean,
right.
I never have understood why we think that the richest people should continue to get tax breaks. I mean, there is the law of diminishing marginal returns. It's one of the things that's universally true in economics. And it's like your millionth Rolls Royce is just not going to have the same bang that the first one did. I mean, how much is enough?
Yeah, it's you can't tax cut your way out of everything, you know. And it's, yeah, you cut and cut and cut and cut. Sooner or later, there's nothing left to cut, and then now it's all crap. We screwed up. Yeah.
Whoops. But here's the thing, though. I actually don't think it's a whoops. Like, I think the actual design here is quite deliberate, intentional, which is, you start starving the federal government of much needed revenues, the deficit burden will become bigger, which then will get pointed to as a reason to cut things like Medicare, Social Security. Like, that's the plan. They've been saying it out loud now more and more. I mean, Ron Johnson has said that.
Yeah. It's kind of like Stephen Colbert's truthiness, right? You have, like, Robert F. Kennedy he's going on these shows. And
hang on, Mark. He said RFK. Let's talk about RFK when we get back. We do have to take care of a tiny bit of business. My special guest, host of The Rational Revolution. You can hear that Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. His name's Mark Becker. We're going to come back and discuss, join our convo, because it's all about real news and great conversation right here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Friday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show, TGIF. I'm so excited to be joined by the host of the fabulous Rational Revolution that you can find right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 p.m. His name's Mark Becker. He's a real smart guy, and he was about to say something very insightful about the insane appointment of RFK Jr., likely happening to be the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, you know, because he's got an MD. Oh, wait, no, he doesn't.
God,
you were saying,
not.
Mark.
Yeah, right. No, we're kind of talking about how so much of what Trump does and what Trumpism is it's like Stephen Colbert's truthiness, where, like, they'll take something that makes sense, but then the way to fix it or part of it is just – so here's what I mean. he talks about a box of Fruit Loops or Corn Flakes in the United States versus in Canada. And in Canada, it's got like 6 ingredients or whatever. But then in the U.S., it has like 36 ingredients, which that sucks. That's true. It's poisons and horrible things that we're putting in our bodies. He's right. But then his fix is to like dismantle and get rid of the FDA. You know, it's like, dude, almost had it. Like, oh my God. Like, we almost did something really good. But then, you know, what we're going to do is just give them a blank slate to do whatever the hell you want. You know?
That's and that is the nature of every single conspiracy theory and every single whack job policy idea, is that it always starts with true things or kernels of reasonableness. But then, like, the premise does not lead to the conclusion, right? The conclusion or the solution is the crazy stuff. But you've been convinced because all of the premises and some of those, oh, yeah, like, that's true. That sounds normal. And then dot, dot, dot. Well, watch the dot, dot, dot space, right?
Right.
Totally nuts. Like, the fluoride in water. Yes, fluoride in major, in, like, massive amounts does bad things. So does most of the crap that's in our water. But fluoride in very, very tiny amounts helps us not lose all of our teeth. I mean, like, it's
which
unbelievable.
Which overly is a good thing, right? Yeah, right.
Yes, yes. I would like to have my teeth when they finally put me in a box. Like, that is the preferred outcome here. And this is, you know, I talked about regulatory economics today to a class at Marquette University in their business school. And I asked them, like, how do we know when we have enough regulation or like the right regulation? Like, when do you hit regulatory equilibrium? And the question should always be like, how are we testing the efficacy of different regulations? It's stupid to me that to hear RFK talking about nutrition and the FDA, when due to lobbying, corporate interest group lobbying, our nutritional labels, which were heralded as this like great, you know, customer information transparency thing, report stuff out in grams, and we don't use like, why does a nutritional label make no damn sense to anyone? It just like maybe start there so that people actually know what they're eating. We've got I think just enough time to squeeze this in, Mark, but I've got a little.
Sure.
Something special for you. And that is, I have 2 degrees of separation from Donald J. Trump because I was interviewed by Pete Hegseth, the other nut job appointee to become Secretary of Defense.
Nice.
Here's my interview with Pete back from 2018. Take a listen.
Well, Milwaukee is taking on 13 drug companies in the opioid fight. The county's top attorney suing them for the damages from the devastating toll opioids have had there. Prosecutors say 336 people died from opioids in Milwaukee County last year. That number doubled from 5 years ago. Joining us now is Milwaukee County Corporation Counsel Margaret Dawn. Margaret, thank you very much for being here. So, first of all, tell us about the approach you're taking. This is not just about drug dealers on the street. You're going to the source. Tell us about it.
Right. We think that, you know, if you're a drug pusher on the street or a Fortune 50 company, if you're complicit in taking the lives of Milwaukee County residents and citizens, we're going to come after you. So on Wednesday, we filed a civil lawsuit against 13 of this nation's largest opioid manufacturers and distributors to seek injunctive relief as well as monetary damages and assistance in repairing our communities from the devastation that these businesses intentionally have wreaked on Milwaukee County.
So, Margaret, let me make a comparison here. So a layperson, I say, OK, is this similar to suing a gun manufacturer if it's the person selling it or giving it was doing something illegal or improper, like a doctor overprescribing? Why is it the fault of the drug maker if it is used improperly? Because there are reasons why these drugs are out there for legitimate purposes.
Well, let me start with the analogy to a gun manufacturer. If a gun manufacturer sold you a gun and told you, don't worry, it won't harm you, then you might have a claim. That's the actual analogy here. These manufacturers knew that they were making an inherently very addictive, very dangerous drug. And instead of being truthful about that, they intentionally lied.
Mark, I thought you would get a kick out of that because I think Mr. Hegseth thought he might be owning this lawyer with his dumb gun manufacturer analogy. But I think I mic dropped a little bit. What do you think, sir?
I, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the Secretary of Defense. That's a, you know, it would be wonderful to have the best and the brightest. You know, I one of the things that I try to do in my personal life and in business and all of that is find people around me that are the best at what they do. And Donald Trump is not doing that.
He sure isn't. Folks, that is Mark Becker, host of The Rational Revolution. You can find his great show Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Mark, I hope you can come back real soon because this has been a lot of fun. I bet people would want to hear a little bit more from you. I appreciate your time. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Thank you. You too.
Folks, we're going to come right back. It's time for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. We're going to be joined by Civic Media's very own Terry Barr right here on the Maggie Dawn Show, the Friday edition here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We're going to have some good news when we come back for the break. I think we all need a little good news. You deserve it, so don't go anywhere. Back in just a moment.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Friday, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Friday. It is 3:30. And that means it is time for some good news from our good friend, Terry Barr. She's got what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome, Terry. It's nice to hear from you.
Hi, Maggie. I've missed you. I know you needed to take a little time to decompress, and I totally understand. We all worked on the election. It's great to be back with you here on this side of everything. And yes, I have some good news for you today.
Let it rip, Terry. We all could use it.
Okay. Well, let me start with a question to you. How many books do you think you read in a year? Are you a voracious reader?
Yeah, I'm usually reading like 3 or 4 things at the same time, and I read a lot, probably like north of 100.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I probably don't have to tell you, but books are making a comeback, and so are independent local booksellers. This is a very true fact, and it's so exciting to see this happen. We have a comment from Molly Fish. Molly is the owner of a brand new bookstore in Madison. It's called Lakeside Books. She says she can collaborate with what I'm telling you about books being back because she's seen this happen every day. Printed books are again the most read books. Let's listen to what Molly had to tell me.
Has been so exciting and such a surprise to a lot of people. People will come into my bookstore and be like, who opens a bookstore in 2023? And then I go like, well, I did. And actually, it's going really well. It is a surprise to people. And the fact that indie bookstores are back as well is such an exciting trend that people are really conscious of where they spend their money and where who they're supporting through purchasing their books.
Isn't that fun to hear? Books are back in a bigger way than ever. And along with it, the little local bookstores. I don't know about you, Maggie, but I love the idea of just going and browsing and reading the backs of the books and, you know, just curling up in a chair in a bookstore and looking through a bunch of books can be so fun, too.
Absolutely. I reading is one of my absolute favorite pastimes. It is so relaxing for me, even when I'm reading heavy stuff, even when it puts me to sleep. Yeah. It's like, oh, great. Well, then I'm taking a little nap here in my reading chair. Like, I am all for it. What is your favorite local bookstore?
It is. I have to tell you, I've been to Molly's store several times, Lake City Books, downtown Madison. It is just the cutest place. And she has live music with different musicians coming in and playing at the bookstore. So she's really kind of giving it a new flair with not just the traditional books, but that you could come in and be a community around the musicians or around any other kinds of activities that she might be holding. I think people are finding new ways to open these bookstores in communities across Wisconsin and make it a community hub, kind of like you picture the library, but now bookstores in an even bigger way.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. When I lived in New York, I was a huge fan of the Strand, which of course is this like world famous bookstore. I could spend literally like the entirety of a Sunday walking around the Strand and like sipping coffee and thumbing through books. I also have, there's just a fabulous bookstore here in Milwaukee on I think it's far away, maybe it's Prospect. I can't believe I'm blanking on this. It's a native Milwaukee. It's called Boswell. It's called Boswell Books, and they do readings and they have musicians. It's a, kind of the same vibe as what you're describing. And I had absolutely like a surreal and really humbling, cool experience. One of my favorite professors from Marquette, that my alter ego, like in the other version of this universe, I'm probably somebody who went on to get like a PhD in English. I just loved it. And my favorite professor at Marquette in the English department was a guy by the name of Cliff Spargo. And he wrote a book. It is a fictional telling of the relationship between Zelda and, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the guy that wrote The Great Gatsby. I can't believe I'm doing this. Who wrote The Great Gatsby, Terry? You know this as well as I do. Oh my goodness. Great Gatsby.
I do, but oh boy. Am I going to try to Google it quick for us?
Oh my gosh.
Scott Great Fitzgerald.
Scott Fitzgerald. Good Lord, Maggie.
Oh.
He wrote a book
about, I'm with you.
About their love affair. And he did he came into town. Boswell Books was one of the stops on his book promotional tour. And I got to go watch my professor do a reading from his published novel and like hang out and talk with him. It was just so cool. And Boswell Books is on Downer Avenue. Thank you to the texter from the WAUK. Much appreciated.
Yay!
It's a team effort, Terry. It's a team effort. We got Cardi helping me remember who wrote one of the best books in the entire canon of American fiction. F. Scott Fitzgerald. I'm mortified. Oh, good Lord.
Well, and I wasn't any help. I couldn't remember. And then I panicked because you said, Terry, come on. I go,
It's like doing math on the radio, Terry. We should never do those.
No.
I should never spring any quizzes on anybody. Do you have another story to share this afternoon, Terry?
I sure do. And, you know, I just love digging around for fun, good news to bring to you. And, you know, we just celebrated Veterans Day on Monday, and I, during that day, learned that there is a Wisconsin man believed to be the oldest living merchant marine in the entire United States. He is also the oldest living veteran in our state at 107 years old. And he's still active. He is out there every day having coffee with his friends. His name is Reynolds Tomter. He is also on a little bit of a tour of sorts. He has just recently gone to Normandy. That was back in May for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And now he just did an honor flight to Washington, D.C. Wonderful. Oh. Now, he lives in the Eau Claire area. Always has. He says always will. And he says he has made it this far because of his attitude. And here's his favorite saying, Maggie. Have a great day unless you have other plans.
Oh, for that the cynics among us, that may ring true. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. So 107 years old on those days, I'm feeling like, I feel like I'm 100 years old. No. I need to remember there are people older and wiser that have seen much more than probably both of us put together, and they're still out there living their best life. And we congratulate him and salute him as well.
Absolutely. Coming on the heels of Veterans Day, of course, as well. So how deeply appropriate. And since I wasn't on the air on Monday, I'll take this opportunity. Thank you, Terry, for the setup here to say thank you to all of our veterans. Many of you are my friends. I've worked closely with many veterans. I certainly work very closely with Milwaukee County Department of Veterans Affairs when I was at the county. So thank you to each and every one of you. A dear friend of mine here in Milwaukee has a pilot's license. And one of the things that he did to give back to the community was he often was one of the pilots that would fly gentlemen to participate in the honor flights and to fly. So it has been a really unique experience. He gave me a very unique vantage point into that program, which I think is just an incredible acknowledgement of so many of our folks, and especially folks from the greatest generation, what sacrifices all of our veterans have made. That honor flight program is just incredible. What a gift.
Yes. And for this, 107-year-old man, Reynolds Tomter, for him to actually get to do this and to say he did it and to see how they are honored when they are part of this flight, I can't even imagine the joy that he must have felt. And it's so wonderful, too, at all of the airports where the honor flights are hosted. Yes. In and out. People gather. Yes. And cheer them on. Like, you know, in some cases, they didn't receive that when they came home.
Yes.
From war. So it's wonderful. Yes. To see this happening. And I love
the hero's
guy.
Welcome so that every one of our veterans deserves. Absolutely. Now, here's a little tangent, Terry, that you would have never seen coming from that lovely story.
Uh-oh.
Of what's good, local, and overlooked. Okay. The gentleman that we're celebrating in your story, his last name is Tomter, if I heard that correctly. Did I get that right, Terry?
Yes, correct.
So many of you who have been listening to my show for a while know that I absolutely am obsessed with baseball, and that baseball obsession was a gift to me from my beloved dad, who played a lot of baseball when I was growing up as a kid. And when I was growing up, the baseball games that I would go to, he played a lot of bar league baseball in and around Milwaukee. And not softball, folks. I'm talking about hardball, a baseball, actual baseball. Not softball, not the go hit a home run every time, hardball. And one of the teams that he played for was sponsored by none other than, drum roll, please, Tomter's Inn, located just off of, I believe, Burleigh and like 60th Street in the city of Milwaukee. I had been in Tomter's Inn with my dad post-game, because there's nothing cooler for a 10-year-old girl than to go hang out with your dad and all of his baseball buddies at a bar after the game. I mean, baseball, beer, and buddies. It's like trifecta of fun. I felt like I was so cool. He played for Tomter's for a long time. I am curious if there might be a Tomter family that is the Tomter that you know, and that we're celebrating this amazing veteran, and the Tomter family that used to own that pub.
Okay, now you have put me on a mission to find out the answer.
Oh my gosh, Terry, that would be just amazing.
I am going to do that.
Oh, well, please text me and let me know, because if we've got this follow-up and Mr. Tompter wants to talk on the radio, I would be so excited. And of course, my dad would get an enormous kick out of it. What are your weekend plans, Terry? What you got coming up for you and your family this weekend?
Well, and it's weird. It feels like it should already be Thanksgiving, but of course it's pushed back, it seems, a little bit this year.
I am actually
still in town. Yeah, it does. I'm in town and I'll be hosting our Max Inc. radio music show Saturday night, and that's all across the Civic Media Radio Network. We bring in some great local musicians. And for an hour, 9 to 10 o'clock, we give you a free concert over the radio. And we've got a great Madison band that's coming in this week called Bing Bong. And they have new rock music out. They're a really, really fun group. So no one can ever say rock is dead, because they are bringing it back and it's good stuff. So that's pretty much my weekend plans.
I love that. That's 9 to 10 every Saturday, right, Terry?
Correct. Yes.
So, folks, check that out. That's Terry Barr. You can check out Bing Bong, a Madison rock band proper, this Saturday from 9 to 10 p.m. You have an absolutely blessed weekend, Terry. Take care of yourself, and we will be talking soon again, I am sure. Folks, that's Civic Media's very own Terry Barr. You can find her here every Friday at 3:30 for what's good, local, and overlooked. We're going to take care of some business. I'll be right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About y'all, but I feel bad talking over Salt and Pepper. I mean, like, come on, that's just good 90s tunes. That's my decade. Those are the good jams. Happy Friday, y'all. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and I've been excited to warm y'all up and introduce to you our newest member of the Maggie Dawn team. His name is Carty. He is running the board. Everybody, say hello to my main man, Carty. Thank you for everything that you're doing.
Appreciate
and for the
it.
Great tunes this afternoon, my friend. This has got a distinct Friday vibe. You know what I'm saying? It feels like Friday.
Does.
Well, really excited to have Carty as part of the team. You want to get any of your thoughts in before the end of the hour and the end of this show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But I wanted to share with you, in addition to reading a whole lot of books, I really do love movies. It is like going to the movies is one of my absolute favorite things. And my dad and I, just this past weekend, went and saw an incredible movie, very provocative. It is called The Conclave. And it is about when the College of Cardinals in the Catholic Church has to sequester itself after a pope dies to select the next pope. And this one is a bit of a thriller, and it was very tense. very interesting. And usually one of the reasons that I enjoy watching movies is I love to try to predict what's going to happen. And then I feel very, you know, like smug and superior, of course, when I figure out what's going to happen in the movie. I'll tell you this, no way you will predict what is going to happen in this film. Both my dad and I were pretty gobsmacked, and that is a goodly amount of fun to leave a theater going, wow, I seriously did not see that one coming. It is thought provoking as well. I guarantee you'll enjoy it. And no, nobody from Conclave has paid any sponsorship dollars for the rousing endorsement that I just gave it. We've got a caller. I believe this was a gentleman I was having a spirited discussion with yesterday evening at an alcohol purveying establishment on the Near East Side. Is that you, my friend?
Yeah, it's me. I can't believe you yelled at me so much.
Oh, you yelled back. You yelled back. We had a healthy exchange of ideas.
I just had to call in and say I'm glad that we got that out of our system.
Heck yes, my friend. Everybody, if you haven't heard this man's smooth, dulcet tones before, that is Keith Gostad. He is my producer from the early days of Maggie Radio when I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, and he kept the wheels on the bus. Keith and I have always had a goodly respect for each other and a healthy exchange of ideas, and yesterday was no exception. I thank you for that conversation, my friend.
I was glad we were able to get that out. I feel like it was necessary, too, and I just wanted to bring that back in to the conversation real quick, because I think a lot of people are probably playing the blame game these past few days, this past week.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of it to go around, for sure, but at the end of the day, we do have to put down the daggers that we are flexing at each other and, you know, try and work together again if we're going to get ahead. So I feel like that's necessary to get those demons out, though.
Yeah, I think, it, especially with people that you know that you care about, I find it easier to have like a really heated discussion with someone who I know really well because there's trust there, right? Like, I know you're a really good person, Keith. I trust you. You're my friend. Yep, we can yell at each other and then put that behind us. And I really respect and appreciate that about you, too.
Well, thank you very much, Maggie. I'm glad I got to call in real quick, and congratulations on the show again.
Thank you, my friend. Always nice to hear from you, folks. That is the amazing Keith Gostad. He has invented the genre of polka hip-hop. Wait, before you go, Keith, tell everybody where they can find some of your polka hip-hop.
Oh, you can go to novembercriminals.com, and you can suss it out there if you're interested. Polka hip-hop is alive and well. We've also got a festival that we run called the Milwaukee Polka Riot. And we're going to be moving to a new spot next fall. But if people are interested, it's MilwaukeePolkaRiot.com also.
Very cool, folks. That's Keith Gostad, inventor of the growing genre called polka hip hop. I have checked it out a little bit. So should you. It is a good gosh darn time. Hey, Kimber texting in from WRCE. She's saying hello to Cardi. Folks, we are about at that time. I can't believe that the weekend is here already. Shoo! I hope and I wish for each and every one of you the time to take a breath, maybe do some reading, maybe check out one of those local bookstores like Boswell on Brady. My thanks to you for listening. Be well. Enjoy your weekends. You got Dom Salvia up next. He follows me every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. And as I always end the shows, so too I will do today. I think these words, as Keith just made clear, are more important today than they have ever been. And that is that we get to stand up for one another, and that I hope that you always stand up for me, because I'm always going to stand up for you. But most importantly, everybody, it is better when we stand together. So go have yourselves a beautiful, safe, and happy weekend. Thank you to you, Cardi. We are doing the thing. We are getting there, my man. It has been a lot of fun growing with you. I'll be back on Monday for more of the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we always have real news and great conversation. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. He's a mighty, mighty.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.